So what I want to focus in on right now is the diet. Because diet, aside of the antibiotics, some people may never have the antibiotics, lucky for them. Some people may not ever have a cancer, lucky for them, even though 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will have cancer, which is a problem. And some people like, well, hey, you know, I eat pretty good. I'm not constipated. I don't need colonics. I don't have an acid blocker because I don't have heartburn and all. But we have to look at the standard American diet. It's just the largest contributing factor for dysfunction. And it's because the inflammation that we get. So this is a slide here. If people can just stop raising their hand until I'm finished, and then that won't interrupt with the slide video that people are going to be watching later at home. I appreciate that. So yeah, if Stephanie, if you can, thank you. Yeah, if you can please don't raise your hand till the end of the lecture, I'd appreciate that, because I just want to make sure that it keeps flashing on my screen, and I just want to make sure that everybody at home can see the screen appropriately. So again, I'll answer your questions at the very end. Okay. So animal protein and plant proteins. And what I want everybody to know is this is the slide. This is the only slide you really need to know. If you want to understand nutrition, if you want to start an optimum health, if you want to understand what's anti-inflammatory and pro-inflammatory, just take a look at this. And what you want to do is after this lecture, go back to this, pause it, and actually just look at it, you know, because I might go pretty fast. But this has everything you need to know. And anybody has ever argues with you or has tried to say, well, no, I need to eat this, I must have this, just go back to this list, right? Because you're either going to be anti-inflammatory or pro-inflammatory. You're either going to cause heart disease, right? The number one cause of death is, you know, increased cholesterol and cardiovascular disease risk. That only comes from animal proteins, right? That it causes it. Now, plants don't have cholesterol. So that's why when we go on a plant-based diet, it'll reverse your heart disease risk. Now, you will see other providers on this conference who will go into detail about cardiovascular disease and all the data and all the studies and hundreds of studies that are published in the cardiology journals showing that. So I won't get into that. But looking at antioxidants, phytonutrients, fiber, and dysbiosis, that I will talk about today. And then on some of my other lectures, you'll see me talking about other pro-inflammatory, pro-carcinogenic, that means pro-cancer-causing agents that come from animal protein and saturated fats, pro-diabetes and blood sugar problems that come from it, and also the bioaccumulation of environmental toxins, pesticides, herbicides. Remember, just in general, there is no study showing eating animal protein or saturated fat will prevent, treat, or reverse disease. As much as many people will try to argue that, I need it, we need it, it's nutrient dense, et cetera, et cetera. They just don't follow the data, right? They're usually funded by lobby groups that are food industries. They're either funded by organizations that have tied to food industries, but the data is not there. So you won't eat animal protein to lower your heart disease or lower your cancer risk or lower your blood pressure or lower diabetes. And more importantly, to fix your microbiome, definitely it doesn't do that. And I'll explain why. Plant foods are going to be different. Now, we're going to talk about later in my lecture that you can still have food sensitivities and food allergies, and that's important, and that can still come from a plant. So we definitely want to look at all foods in general, but when we look at just a broad statement, you want to be moving towards an anti-inflammatory plant diet, most importantly. Now, I won't get into this because this will be in my last couple lectures that you've seen at the conference. My book has all the research and the studies. But when we look at this, because I still will get questions, I'm sure, today of keto and Mediterranean and plant-based diets. So when you actually look at the last 130 studies, which we have, and you actually look at the meta-analysis, which other scientists have done as well, and they put it to the test. Like, let's not look at a small 5 people, 10 people, a little case report or anything like that. We have to look at short-term weight loss is pretty much what they get, right? But it's not sustainable for long-term and actually does increase inflammation. I can talk about that on the question and answer period. And all comorbid factors. So the more keto someone eats in the beginning, yes, they will lose weight. So everybody feels good. The blood sugar will get a little bit better because they're losing weight. They're not eating highly refined carbohydrates. So yes, anybody stops eating, you know, all you can eat breadsticks and donuts will lose weight and feel better. Okay. But then that honeymoon period is a little bit over. And then we start seeing all pro-inflammatory conditions are increasing because they're eating a high still pro-inflammatory diet. And I'll explain that to you. Now, more importantly, just to pay attention, when you start seeing ketogenic patients or practitioners or providers or marketers or social media influencers start telling you, yo, you got to eat keto. That's kind of what our body's supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, they're also selling you greens. Here's a green drink. Here's my red drink. Here's my antioxidants. Here's my fiber supplement. And here's my probiotics. Why are they giving you all this? Because it's not coming from the diet. So that's really a scam, in my opinion. If you eat a natural plant-based diet, you don't need to be taking as much of these unless you have microbiome dysfunctions or malabsorption issues or lack of getting some of the foods in your diet. We test that, and then we will help our patients, actually, and we can help you, who those people want to come see me. We can help you figure out which foods you can eat more of, right? So it's not just supplements. Supplements supplement the diet, but then replace it. Remember that. And then we want to look at like what can you eat more of? And then more importantly, what you can't eat more of, then this is something that's going to be potency, purity, safety, efficacy targeted for you to help improve that dysfunction or deficiency. Now, Mediterranean diet in all the studies did definitely better than keto, but not better than just plant-based diet. Mediterranean diet is kind of the middle ground that most doctors kind of trend to go to because they still want to have a little bit of salmon. They still want to have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of meat. But again, if you want to go to the gold standard now, which is in all the research and all the data, plant-based diets are the best. Now, when we do direct comparative studies. So that's where you have to look at, let's take patients now and actually put them on this diet, or this diet directly. So it's not just like I'm reporting on 10 patients, how they did going on a ketogenic diet. Okay, you'll see parameters get better in the first month, definitely up to 3 months, no problem. But now let's do comparative studies. Like let's put someone on a plant-based diet, on a Mediterranean diet, and put them on a ketogenic diet. And then, you know, calculate correctly what a ketogenic diet is, a Mediterranean diet, and a plant-based diet. And you'll see that a plant-based wins on every parameter of losing weight, of losing fat mass. Interesting thing is on ketogenic diets, in the comparative studies, when they actually put them in a trial, they actually lose muscle mass, not fat mass. So it's actually kind of counterbalancing what they're trying to do. You'll decrease more visceral fat, which is what we want. You will change your insulin sensitivity, you improve your fatty liver, blood pressure, your cholesterol, and more importantly, lowering the inflammation because it's an anti-inflammatory diet. Now, even more so, the plant-based meat substitutes. There's a recent study that came over out last year or year before that during the pandemic because people were moving towards plant-based processed protein foods because there was a shortage on meat due to the pandemic. And so they started looking at, well, what happens when people are eating like a plant-based burger or a plant-based chicken or plant-based sausage or a plant-based, fish? And they did a comparative study. So they measured the amount of protein and fat of these foods. So like here's a grass-fed, here's wild-caught, and here's free-range chicken and grass-fed beef and wild-caught fish. And then they had the plant-based substitute and they measured exactly so that the protein and the fat's the same. So we're kind of on even playing field, the protein matching because everybody's always worried about protein. Unfortunately, we don't need to worry about it, but people want our protein obsessed. And more importantly, we're looking at the fat content because that's the mouthfeel, right? Because obviously, you know, we want to have that little juicy burger or that kind of like little fatty fish. So when they matched that and they actually ran the study and they had these people eat for a month, interesting thing is the plant-based meat substitutes that are processed, believe it or not, that are frozen, that still have other things that we may not think is as perfect, still did better on all the parameters, meaning they lowered their cholesterol, they lowered their inflammatory markers. Why? Because anti-inflammatory foods, even if it's processed, it still usually has some type of fiber because it's plant-based. It still has antioxidants because it comes from a plant. It still has phytonutrients because it's still from a plant. Now, is not as good or perfect as eating a whole foods plant-based diet, but when people are transitioning, and I'm a person that helps people transition, I'm not a purist. There's a lot of doctors and providers who are purists, like you must have this. That's pie in the sky, as I say. You have to meet the patient where they're at. And so we look at transition foods. Why? Because if I can transition people to get healthier and healthier and healthier and eventually go to a whole foods plant-based diet, even better. But there's a lot of resistance. Remember, we've been eating a certain way for many, many decades. And that's not only just a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a psychological thing. It's a social aspect. So eating clean does not necessarily get you any further. It just makes it more costly. And actually switching over to plant-based substitutes now, evidence-based now, will prove that to be correct.